Welcome to the Recovery Lab. This podcast is powered by the Paiza Wave 2 by Elevation Medical. And today's special guest is Dr. Babette Gladstein. She's a New York vet that believes in combining traditional as well as alternative and regenerative medicine approaches to treating pets. And she's been mobile, so she's been covering the greater New York area for quite some time. And on top of that, she also has launched her own product line. And her supplements all come with no fillers, no artificial coloring, and they're really geared towards helping your pets manage pain, balance actual GI tracts, and boost the immune system. So with that being said, let's get right into today's conversation with Dr. Babette Gladstein. Enjoy.
I didn't go to vet school until I was 47 years old. And then I went to Penn.
What?
Yeah.
What did you do previously?
I have a family auto parts store in New Jersey. I was a stockbroker on Wall Street.
Wow. Wow.
I was a fit model in the fashion district for a while. And then I had these other things that I did, part-time things when I was married. And then when I got a divorce, I went to vet school because I realized I couldn't do all those funny little things anymore. I had to get a real job.
Well, I'll be honest with you, it sounds like you've had numerous experiences there. And I'm sure that there's a lot that you've kind of learned along the way. And it's really interesting that you landed where you did that. I think it's a great fit, though. We had a chance to meet at the VMX conference. And you know what? It was something that I could tell that you had a good understanding of shockwave therapy. You've been looking at it for a while. And so I'm excited to hear how you've been applying it and what other tools you've been using along with the whole shockwave.
I had a case the other day, which I acupuncture on a regular basis. It's a golden. It's an older golden. And because she was having some abdominal upsets, a little diarrhea, I stopped giving her her Attacon, her weekly injections of glucosamine and chondroitin, and her limp became exaggerated. And because when they have extreme diarrhea, you don't necessarily want to do electrical stim on them either because she continued the process, I cessated her basic treatment. So she hadn't had her basic treatment for 2 or 3 weeks. And I came in there and I said, okay, I straightened out her gut. We got her on some probiotics that I can talk about later.
Yeah.
And we straightened out her gut and her fecal matter. I was getting pictures of it twice a day from the dog walker and the owner. And so I said, okay, we've gotten to a magic point here. And I took the PZO wave over to their apartment and I did a treatment. And the next day, the dog walker was nice enough to send me a picture of her poop, as well as telling me that she had stopped limping.
Wow.
Now, I'm pretty sure it's a fragmented coronoid process. I keep her a dull roar. I use all of the instruments that I have. And I mentioned a Sumis, which is the very high-end laser. And so she gets that pretty much once a week, and acupuncture with electric stim almost every week. So she's really managed well, but this happened to be a period where she got out of control. But she's still limping all through this time, very slightly, because that's not an affectation. A front-end lameness is one of the hardest ones to get cessation on. It involves not just the fragmented coronoid process, but it also the shoulders and the biceps tendon, et cetera. So I did the PZO wave on 2 points in the shoulder and 1 point in the elbow and on both sides, and she did not limp the next day.
Love it.
That's wonderful. Now, we'll see over time, and completely didn't limp. Now, we'll see how long that lasts, and perhaps by the time I do her second PZO wave treatment, I'll get her to a point where that she will not be lame for hypothetically a month or two. And PZO wave is something you can do more than once or twice or three times. It's a no harm, no foul modality. So this is something that I could definitely maintain this dog over time, and she's already 13, and have her comfortable in her front end, because front end injuries, and most vets will tell you, are just impossible to treat. Wow. So that's my last week's story.
Well, you know what? That's a great story as well. I mean, and I'm really curious about how you use the laser. Where do you normally use the actual laser whenever they have front end type of limping and whatnot?
Well, exactly the same points that they show you in the PCO wave book, which was very instructional, all of the muscular attachments. And obviously you want to be over the shoulder where you have the infraspinatus and the supraspinatus and the biceps tendon, and which are all in that groove. So if you can get over the groove and actually acupuncture and stim there, as well as use your laser, sometimes you will get the animal to be not painful. That doesn't mean that the limp completely goes away. So what I'm saying here is I've never really gotten the limp to totally go away, but except with the PCO wave. Now, I have to see how long that lasts, number one. And number two, I have to assess her pain status in the next week or so. I mean, I was amazed. It was very enlightening. Because I had been, you know, with any practitioner who bought a PCO wave, their first inclination is to treat themselves.
That's right.
Whatever hurts, you treat it. You want to see if it works. And I found it worked. So I then, you know, obviously I was doing it on the animals. So.
And, you know, it's really great to hear your feedback, because I know you have some years of experience working in the whole animal rehab world. I mean, especially with nutrition, and now, you know, you're adding in these other tools as well. And I'm always curious about how people are layering in the different technologies and what doses people are using to help get the best outcomes. You know, when it comes to shockwave therapy as a general, how did you first find out about shockwave? Was it something that you've been looking around and looking at different devices over time, or what was your first exposure to it?
Well, my first exposure to it, this is interesting, was down at Penn.
Okay.
I was a student and I was an equine major. Mm. And one of the professors was having a problem with plantar fasciitis.
Yeah.
And somebody was kind enough, since she was the professor who did all the abdominal ultrasounds on the horses, God bless her, she was wonderful. And they came with the big old shockwave machine that you almost had to clear the room. And it sounded like a gunshot went off. Yeah. Right. And they came back about three times, but you guess what? She got better.
Yeah.
Right. So, and because we were students, we were all kind of curious, what are you doing? And she was like taking all kinds of drugs just to be able to sustain the pain of the shock. Because at that time, those machines were pretty heavy duty and they were very strong. Now, my second and third experience was obviously on the track, being a track vet on the regulatory side. And then we discovered that those horses didn't have pain for a very long time and that they really had to keep them they had to be on the injured list. They weren't allowed to race for a period of time. And then they elongated that period of time because it was so effective at killing pain that, you know, obviously the horses were in danger.
I've always heard about that. Yeah. You know, I find that always really fascinating that they wouldn't let them shockwave prior to races for that reason.
Yeah. Right. Because you're numbing it. You're sending the superficial nerves, that those NMDA receptors that sense the pain, you're shocking them out of existence temporarily. I mean, they come back, but you're getting them to totally unwind and release the pain sequence. So you can't let, you know, pain saves us to some degree. It saves the dogs. I don't think veterinarians think like this too much. But you don't want them to do things that hurt them, because that's nature's way of telling you, wow, you shouldn't be doing that right now.
That's a really good way to look at pain and reframe it, I guess, even for a lot of us. Because a lot of times,
well, for performance, you have to understand it's different for people who have to just walk around every day. than a performance animal that you're making go to an extreme and taking the pain away so they go even farther than they should, which then would make them get hurt more, which is what was happening. So yeah. They had to take the regulatory measures, right, with that. But it was extremely effective for pain.
I love that because, you know, we kind of hear about that a lot. So on the human side. And so I think one of the gifts that you guys have is that, you know, your animals and your pets, they don't lie. They, you know, whenever they're in pain, you know, they will compensate and they will, you know, try to avoid that. And, you know, humans, sometimes we can sometimes embody the pain a little bit more and exaggerate it. And it's really difficult to separate. Right,
but you do continue to get hurt.
Yeah.
So, right. That's a bit of a problem. I'm one of the few vets that thinks non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs are harmful.
Interesting. Could you tell us more? Elaborate your thoughts on that? Yeah.
Exactly what I just said. In other words, sometimes pain is a good thing because it stops you from doing things that would exacerbate your whatever problem you're having or whatever injury you're having. So sometimes you should lie still and get better, you know, go to sleep or whatever. But it's since non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs became very popular, right around the time I became a veterinarian, which is about 20 years ago, that's when Rimadyl came to the scene. And that's, you know, obviously a drug du jour and a drug of choice to help animals with hip pain and knee pain. And my problem is you need those immune mediators to come to that area where you're injured. And that's what happens. You have a little tear in your muscle. Well, your body actually sends little messengers to that area. And then your body starts to heal. You get a little swelling, it feels bad, but you leave it alone and let it heal on its own, it will actually repair itself. So when you're stopping that reaction, not in all cases, look, and in a terribly acute injury, you have to use drugs. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. I'm saying on a repetitive daily basis, sometimes you're stopping the very reaction. You need to rebuild your body structure in a natural way. It makes tons of sense.
And, you know, I think that something that we're seeing more of are people looking for holistic care and regenerative healing techniques, things that, you know, aren't so invasive or don't require a lot of pill popping. Right. And is that the case in the whole vet world as well? Do you feel like that's what lots of your patients and are we looking for so as far as
my patients seek me out for those kinds of answers? And I happen to think I get excellent results. I do a technique called prolotherapy, which just means proliferative therapy, where you inject dextrose and lidocaine, and maybe a buffering agent because the lidocaine stings, around a knee or a hip or a rotator cuff injury. Or you can do it in the elbows and you can use it all over as long as it's in a safe place. I've done it along the neck, and I've gotten dogs that have had intervertebral disc disease problems to hopefully that they would straighten out. They do, actually. I've had very good success with it. So that is exactly the opposite of an anti-inflammatory drug. Prolo, you're inducing a proliferative response, which in turn would create naturally scar tissue. If you're taking a knee, the ACLs and MPLs, and you've got your medial meniscus, if you have sheared one of these, you're going to have a problem with your knee. Mm-hmm. Now, prolotherapy is very interesting because what you're doing is you're going to take the lateral aspect of the knee and make various injections which would shore up all the ligaments. And so it would thicken all of these ligaments and tendons. And it's been scientifically proven that actually you can do it between 28 and 38%. Wow. So I can get a natural scar tissue adhesion, but it's exactly the opposite of an anti-inflammatory drug.
Okay, I think I'm tracking with you here about why you would do that, because you're actually looking to cause that inflammatory response to lay down scar tissue to help reinforce that actual tendon or like ligament. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
So in the case of like these little dogs that have these medial patella luxations, which is very common in these tiny breeds and upwards to 20 pounds, maybe even 25 pounds. And so they have one of these ligaments that are sheared or partially sheared because this groove, which holds the kneecap, isn't holding the kneecap. It's too shallow.
Oh, wow.
So that little groove is what they keep talking about. So, and it doesn't meet right. So this is all too shallow, and it's, which then gives you too much flexibility in the knee. So it's a surgery, by the way, that a lot of vets do, or orthopedic surgeons do, and actually it's only 65% effective.
Wow.
So prolotherapy, which is just a thickening of the ligaments and tendons around the knee, and then, you know, just thickening them by 20, 30%, you're getting enough stability back in that knee on a very light little dog that you don't need anything else. And it's, prolotherapy is also applicable for any dog that has a partial ACL tear.
Very interesting. Yeah, because I've heard some horror stories about some of those knee surgeries that are done. Could you kind of explain what that surgery would look like if you chose to go the surgical route opposed to maybe trying prolotherapy first? And I'm just curious now.
Okay. So prolotherapy is no harm, no foul, although it's not inexpensive because the procedure takes an hour or two. The problem with the surgery is that they've now come to the conclusion that it's because there is a slope in the top of the tibia. So what they're doing is they're taking part of it apart and then they're stabilizing it with a plate.
Oh, wow.
And they're cutting part of the tibia. It's planing. It's called the tibial plateau osteotomy. So they're planing the top of this bone to make what they think is the correction, and then they're putting a plate here. Now, I'm not doing anything like that. I'm literally just doing sugar water.
Yeah.
So simple.
Well, you know, it makes sense to me, honestly, because there's a lot of things that I think, and again, I'm not a guy that's, you know, anti-surgery or anti-medication, because there's a time and place for that, right?
Exactly.
However, though, I think there's also a lot of things that we overlook that are a lot less invasive, you know, and could do a lot less harm. And yes, maybe the outcomes might be for you, they might not, but, you know, there's no invasive work where there's a long rehab process afterwards.
Well, prolotherapy is a technique that's been done since the 1950s on humans. And it's done even today on rotator cuff injuries on humans. And the reason is that we have all these little bitty muscles. Ours is not the same. The dog has his little sits tendons here over his shoulder. We have them kind of in the back. And everybody who does weights or does a lot of sports has a rotator cuff at some point in their life.
Yep.
So
I've been there.
But they're very hard because the tendons are very tiny, so they can't really sew them together well because they don't hold. So what they've started doing is started to put sugar water. I know, so simple. Dextrose. I'm sorry, I should call it by a medical name.
I like sugar water, but yeah, go.
Right. a little sugar water of it, but they don't have to always use sugar. I should not make it a total joke. They can use other agents that will cause the same reaction that will thicken the tissue itself and make that scar tissue so that it would naturally hold with a better, in other words, the stitches can pull out because they won't necessarily heal. Tendons and ligaments just take an inordinate amount of time to heal. So if you're putting them together, stitching them together, but then you're dropping some sort of an abrasive agent on here to make the scar tissue around it, actually they get better results. So it's been done. It's nothing new, but it's relatively new to the veterinary community. And a lot of veterinarians don't want to do it because it's time consuming. The animal, I did one this morning, we had to pre-sedate and hold the dog. We didn't want to use total sedation. So we gave him a few Xanax and kind of held him down. He was high, but he didn't object too much. And we did both his knees and his hips on both sides so that even if he's going to push more weight on the contralateral side while he's healing, hopefully we'll thicken that side too so that he doesn't have the contralateral leg breakdown in the future.
Really interesting. So, I'm curious because I've definitely heard of some of our clients doing prolotherapy in the past. Would you follow up after the actual injections with any shockwave or any laser or any other?
Oh, actually, mechanism? I have a protocol. Yes. What I do is I do ozone.
Okay. Ozone therapy?
Ozone therapy at the injection site. And that actually helps to hyperheal it as well as mitigates the pain. And it really works. So I've combined that at the site when I do the prolotherapy. And then from there, I do acupuncture with electric stim on top of it because I want to mitigate the potential pain the dog's going to have in the rehabs, just the insult of the prolotherapy. I mean, he's going to get a little swollen. So I'm trying hard because I don't want to put him on a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug because that'll stop the very reaction I'm looking to achieve. So by using the ozone, I'm trying to immediately dampen the pain quotient and also hyperheal it. And then I turned around and did acupuncture with electric stim, and then I lasered it just to make sure that the ozone was well absorbed in the area. And that's typical. Now, at the end of doing this, this is why the PZO wave was so interesting to me. At the end of the 4 or 5 times I have to do this over the next 3 or 4 months, this was his second treatment, I will then turn around about the fourth treatment because this research on prolotherapy says you need between 3 and 5 treatments to get the appropriate amount of scar tissue. So the fourth, I'll go to 4 and then I'll PZO wave them. This is the intent. And then I'll see if I cannot have to do a fifth. Now that doesn't sound like your average veterinarian, but sorry.
No, but I mean, look, I'm loving the fact that you're trying new ways, non-invasive techniques too, to really help your animals get the best outcomes and really try to shorten some of their downtime. I mean, because if we're going to avoid the pills and try to keep them off the pain meds, then having a strategy like this, I think makes a lot of sense, 100%.
Well, yeah, the upside of all this is really unusual. I get dogs living to 16, 17, and 18. And sometimes, it depends on the breed.
In New York City, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding? this is my life. I mean, this is really what I've been doing. I started on the track doing ultrasound around the hooves of the horses because then they didn't have to necessarily do drugs, therapeutic ultrasound. I had 6 or 7 girls out with ultrasound machines, and we found it was much more effective than using drugs.
Wow.
Right, and their feet were better, and actually their hooves got better. I mean, it was a real... And there weren't that many trainers that would go for it because a lot of them wanted immediate gratification. But those that did found that the horses really benefited tremendously. So I found out very early on that there were various therapies, and I still use therapeutic ultrasound in my practice. It just takes a long time and it requires gel, much more gel than we need for the PZO wave. So, right. But technically, that was my orientation, so that I could fix things without having to go to non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, which, you know, over time, they also hurt your stomach. So, and we knew that because we would see that at Penn, we would see it in the pathology lab. When the horses would come in and they had a tremendous amount of ulcers and they were dead, obviously. But, wow. You know, that was sad. They would just have huge amount of ulcers in their digestive tract. And they were using non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs constantly to keep performing.
That's a really unique insight, too, because I don't think people, at least, you know, maybe it's very common in the whole vet world, but I don't think people think about the effects that they're having on their gas, you know, on the whole gastro tract when they're consuming so many pain meds over and over. I mean, obviously, right. It definitely has a wear and tear on the body.
Oh, definitely. There's no question. Opioids slow up your digestive tract. Mm-hmm. And you can literally, you know, if you're going to use opioids, pain pills, you can literally constipate an animal to where they could just die all bound up. And that happens to older people too. They're finding that these things are very useful both in people and in our animal population. So from that standpoint, I'm not exactly a fan of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs as we started this conversation. So fit into my my crescendo of, you know, services that I do on a regular basis. I do pulse wave therapy. In other words, I have these little, what do you call it? A CC loops.
Oh, yeah. CC,
that,
yeah.
Right. A CC loops that clients use on their own. And that's a pulse electromagnetic force ring. Mm-hmm. And they turn it on and they can sit there with the dog. And for those clients that don't have an awful lot of money, it works really well because they can have a treatment once or twice with me and then use that thing 3 or 4 times a day. And they can get a neck or a back. And they don't have to have surgery. So
I've seen some really good. Yeah. You know what? It's funny. I've been seeing a lot of really good outcomes with those loops, especially post-surgical.
Very helpful with pain.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob, for like wound pain. Is it something that's just upregulating circulation in that area and kind of turning off those pain receptors?
Well, we have been talking about electricity. We talked about electric stim on acupuncture needles. We talked about the PZO wave. So this is that particular device is a pulse electromagnetic force ring. So it's using a few modalities together, but you can kind of look at it like you're using the concept of electricity, right? Which would excite the cells and make them have better blood flow and also dampen the pain receptor. Besides the specialty that I have, which is rehab medicine and injuries and, you know, backs and things of that nature, you know, once we get them well, we still have to keep them well. Right. And so if they've had vets that have been feeding them a lot of drugs, we have to turn that situation around and get their gut back in good health. Inevitably, what happened from my physical therapy practice, I wound up practicing gut health. I had a Rottweiler and he was all of a year old. He had terrible food allergies. And the vet that he went to kept giving him metronidazole and drugs and all kinds of things, and told the woman that she should euthanize him. He's a beautiful dog, by the way. Wow. Because he couldn't heal him and he was sure it was stomach cancer. That was, the dog was not even a year old.
Wow.
So, right. So she got referred to me. She lives down the block. You know, somebody said, wow, you have to call Babette. She knows what to do. And I walked in there and we found the dog was on. I found a food, rabbit, for the dog. And the dog, it was finally okay. And then we put him on probiotics. Mm-hmm. In an instant where if he's had vomit or diarrhea, we use this mega probiotic product. And these are all my labeled products. At any rate, he turned around. He's been on this now all of his life.
Wow.
And he is now 10 and a half.
What? It was the 1-year-old pup, and now he's 10 years old.
Yeah, and he's a gorgeous dog. And I think I can keep him going for another couple of years. The Rottweilers don't live all that long. You know, bigger the breed, the shorter the lifespan. So many of my conversations with clients are, you can't feed for 24 hours if there's diarrhea. And if it's vomiting, you can't, and nothing by mouth for 2 or 3 hours. And then you have to start slow because you have to rest the gut. So
I'm really curious about this now, because I know gut health plays into what people call like the whole second brain, right? It's like a whole.
Exactly.
It's a whole.
E. coli. They do what they want, right? They're really pre-programmed, yes. So genetically even. So yes, it's extremely important. So now I got involved because half of the calls are vomit, diarrhea.
Wow.
So I also do fecal transfers of all crazy things. And I read a lot about it. It's done at the NIH for people with Crohn's. It's real. And you have to get a dog that has not been over vaccinated and has not been given a lot of drugs. And you have to take that fecal matter and then clean out the track a bit. And then introduce new fecal matter, and usually it works.
Wow! And this is to restore the microbiome in that area. Is that
exactly? Exactly. Okay.
And when we look at, you know, gut health and pain management, is there a correlation to that of how we deal with pain and then how our body is just processing energy and food?
Oh, exactly. Because you're gut is actually processing your nutrients and your sugar supply through your body.
Gotcha.
So, and it's really important to keep everything in balance, and your gut is where it all kind of comes together. And they're actually proving in humans that the microbiome is so significant that they can prove people who have a better microbiome live longer.
Wow.
So, Yeah, I mean, that means you can't drink Diet Pepsi anymore, but you know, I'm teasing, but technically a lot of these things destroy our microbiome, and people don't really, now dogs are not going to be drinking Diet Pepsi,
right?
But the minute their poop gets a little soft, maybe they got scared that night. Maybe there was a loud noise. Clients freak out, run to the vet, and get metronidazole.
Mm.
Now it's an antibiotic. Now it happens to kill all the good bacteria in your gut. Sometimes you need it,
right.
You know, in an emergency or it's a tick-borne disease or something of that nature, you definitely have to use drugs. Mm-hmm. But under normal circumstances, just because the poop's a little soft one day, doesn't mean you run to get metronidazole. You should be using products that are soil-based that the animal wouldn't be allergic to, and using things like this, Quick Relief Pro and this GI Balance Plus, and that's two of the products. So, and it just happened that I fell into this. It was just, it crescendoed from physical therapy to now you got to take care of them, Babette. You know, what are you going to do next? And it just kind of happened that, oh, the biggest complaint you get as a veterinarian is vomit and diarrhea. That's the call.
Well, you know, I think there's a couple things that some of our audience should really like take note of. One, the amount of time and the lifetime value of you working with an animal for 10 years, right? I mean, so many people that I work with on the human side, they're like in this meal of having all these people coming in with pain and having them coming out. And it's like a constant revolving door. Whereas, I mean, obviously you've taken a different approach than the masses. It takes a little more patience, I would imagine, on the actual owner's side as well. But if you're willing to do a couple, you know, a couple things different and change the lifestyle a little bit, I mean, you can have a much more, one, healthier pet that doesn't have all these lingering on issues and then have a relationship that I think is also really important.
Right. Oh, absolutely. There's no question. And the clients really appreciate it. And when they get their next dog, I'm the first phone call. Even though I'm not as needed because I didn't do physical therapy on their dog, and they're not, unless they mess up their ACL or MCL, they're not going to need me, but they want me involved from the standpoint that they look, Giardia. I mean, you don't always have to deal with Giardia with drugs. Well, you do. You may have to once, you may have to deal with parasites, but quite honestly, me putting diatomaceous earth in this prevents them from getting Giardia. This was a simple little tweak that I had to my soil-based probiotic. So the client knows that I'm going to be the person that's going to have the more simple solution and not go to the drug first. I didn't say I wasn't going to go. Now, let's be clear. I went to Penn. It was an excellent school. I did really well in pharmacology. But P.S., do something before you go to the big drugs or even the little drugs, because there's lots of things you can just fix just naturally, and it's great. It's terrific.
Well, right. I mean, you know, honestly, Doc, I think that's that's a perfect message for us to kind of land on. I mean, you know, there's a lot of different drugs out there that have huge budgets. They encourage all the humans to go ask their doctor for whatever's on the shelf, and you know, I think a lot of the simpler, sometimes more effective, sometimes not always, but you know. Things that are right in front of our face, we overlook and we take for granted, you know? And so I love the fact that you're working on that more of a holistic path. And unfortunately, the media does a tough job of trying to separate the two as if, you know, you either do one or the other, but really, you know, you can have a both approach. It's just, you know, where are you on that spectrum, right? Whenever you need exactly. Certain solutions.
There's lots of times we have to use metronidazole. I'm not going to say I don't use it.
Right.
I would say I literally don't use non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs in my practice. Right. I will say that. But other than that, you know, almost everything else, you have to at some point, you know, use pain meds and you have to relieve suffering. That's our job. Yeah, that's our job. I mean, we're supposed to make sure that the animals can live as long as they are comfortable and have a good lifestyle. And that should be applied to humans too, but it's not.
I mean, eventually, I feel like humans follow the animal's path because you guys have been doing Shockwave way longer than us. We're just now, you know, getting open to this, and you know, it's great, but you know, we're always lagging behind, especially here in the U.S. You know, in other countries, they get a nice jump on us, especially overseas. So hopefully we'll catch up eventually. But with that being said, you have to tell people how they can find you, as well as if they're interested in any of your GI balance or the immune boosters as well.
Well, it's if you can give my website, it's drbabette.com. And if you could give the face page, it would be great.
Absolutely.
so they can get there. And I have a store, which, I mean, they can get to there on my website. And it can be shipped to you UPS, with UPS. That's it. And we're also we can answer questions, you know, if you email them to us in our contact sheet on our website, drbevette.com.
Well, you know what, Doc? I mean, I think this is great. And maybe one time we'll have you come back and talk about the process of launching your own product, because that's a whole separate idea, I'm sure, of figuring out what's the right formula and what's the best mix and everything else.
Great. Well, it would be great to do that. I mean, some of the products that we have right now are our own. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and we've helped compilate the ingredients, but we're always open to new ideas.
Love it. Love it. Well, you know what, Doc? I will put all your actual links in the actual show notes. Is there an email that you would like people to reach you at, or you want me just to kind of?
BGLAD31D. @gmail.com.
I like it. Be glad. That's really easy.
Well, it's Be Glad Veterinary Services, but it really, nobody understood that it was just my first initial and the first four letters of my last name. And it was like, oh, that works.
Yeah. It works. Yeah. 100% it works. No, I mean, exactly. I mean, honestly, this was super fun just kind of talking to you, getting to understand your whole background and your thought process around how people should think maybe outside the box about how they can go about trying to manage pain and even deal with the whole gut health. It was great talking. Thank you, honestly. I look forward to talking again in the future.
All right, you got it.